So last Shabbat, I was talking about the characteristic of sheep and the character of the shepherd, and I really only touched a little bit on the character of the shepherd, and going to be talking a little more about that than the characteristics of sheep. Though I did share with you, and I did sort of warn you in advance that certain things you're not going to like. And I will say that I resemble them too. So it doesn't just, it basically is everyone. It's a character aspect, so to speak. So when we consider the exodus from Egypt and the challenge that Adonai would be confronted by when he led his people from bondage to freedom, the following characteristics will become even more evident. So think of it this way. Yeshua is not just pointing you out, but there's a passage in Numbers, in Bamidbar, that says the defect is in his people. So it goes way back before you. So God's not singling you out. It goes way back before me. It goes way back before Yeshua even died. It goes all the way back to Adam. The defect is in his people. So when we look at a passage such as Exodus 32, starting in verse 8, "So quickly they have turned aside from the way I ordered them to follow. They have cast a metal statue of a calf, worshipped it, sacrificed to it, and said, 'Israel, here is your God, small g, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Adonai continued speaking to Moses, "I have been watching these people, and you can see how stiff-necked they are." So before there were stiff-necked Gentiles, there were stiff-necked Jews, okay? Just as before there were born-again Gentiles, there were born-again Jews, and so on and so forth. So what do these two verses typically convey? One aspect of the sheep is stubbornness, that they will insist on their own way. What happened here? "I believe the dust had barely settled on their feet. Moses went up the mountain, and because he was gone for a while, they got impatient. They said, 'Okay, well, this is what we know. This is what we're going to do.'" So insisting on your own way, whether it is correct or not, this is not a trait exclusive to Israel, but when you consider that of the nations and their own ways, they were distinct and separate from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Therefore remember your former state, you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised by those who merely because of an operation on the flesh are called the circumcised. At that time had no Messiah. You were estranged from the national life of Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants, embodying God's promises. You were in this world without hope and without God." Needless to say, you can say amen, because that has changed. "Thus we're also creatures of habit." Consider Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. "Next, the mixed crowd that was with them grew greedy for an easier life, while the people of Israel, for their part, also renewed their weeping and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. It cost us nothing. And the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we're withering away. We have nothing to look at but this manna.'" We tend to have our own routines, our habits that we gravitate towards. What is most familiar to us is what we tend to do. So we tend to take the easiest path. We tend to revert back to what we're most familiar with. So when you look at another aspect of sheep, they are easily cast down. That means it doesn't take much effort to get them off their legs. And when they're cast off their legs, they roll on their back. And when they roll on their back, they're defenseless. So it doesn't take much for a sheep to be pushed over and thus on their side on the ground. We see this when the shepherd Moses was gone. in Exodus 32:1. When the people saw that Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Get busy and make us gods, small g, to go ahead of us. Because this Moses, the man that brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." It didn't take long for the people to turn back to what they remembered, what they were most familiar with. In other words, you might say they were living in a vacuum because God only placed a little bit of himself, yet there was so much more. He revealed himself to them. He revealed his commandments to him. He expanded on his commandments to him at this point. But apparently that wasn't enough for the people. Hadn't grasped yet. What do they typically say about a habit? It takes 3 weeks for a habit to truly take form. If you continue to repeat what you're doing in 3 weeks, technically, psychologically speaking, you've developed a new habit. Sometimes it takes less than that. So it didn't take long for them. What else do we know about sheep? They require the most care of any livestock. They are needy. We're needy. I'm needy. They need to be on the move, having a predetermined plan for grazing. Where are we going to eat tonight? That's for you to decide. You just point us in the direction. And we'll be there. They look for easy places to rest. Sometimes they're almost like camels. They just lie down wherever when they don't want to move forward anymore. Numbers 33 recounts the many places Israel would camp in the wilderness over 40 years. I have counted 41 different places over a 40-year period that the nation camped. Not one of those places would be a permanent resting place for them, but rather a temporary grazing place. God as shepherd would lead them. He'd stop, okay, this is where you're going to camp. This is where the sheep of Israel grazed. They did not know where they would be going because they would follow their shepherd. Not Moses, but Adonai. He would lead them by day or by night, Exodus 13. Adonai went ahead of them in a column of cloud during the day to lead them on their way, and at night in a column of fire to give them light. Thus they could travel both by day and by night. Neither the column of cloud by day nor the column of fire by night went away from in front of the people. They didn't have a triptych, if anybody remembers those. They did not have their itinerary on their iPhone. They had to rely on the light in the cloud, depending on whether it was day or night, to where they would be heading. Talk about sheep who need structure are walking out on faith. Thus, they are totally dependent on the shepherd for every need. Just as Israel was totally dependent upon Adonai to guide them, protect them, feed them, so too are we dependent upon the very same care. What does Yeshua say? Matthew chapter 6, which I don't have in my notes, but I don't want to misquote it either, so bear with me a minute here. Are these not the words of one who is a shepherd? Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? If anything, your worrying subtracts time from your life. And why be anxious about clothing? Got to have the most fashionable design for the year, for the season. Joking. And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as beautifully as one of these. If this is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in an oven, won't he much more clothe you? What little trust you have, Yeshua conveys. And then conveys this in verse 31. So don't be anxious, asking what will we eat, what will we drink, or how will we be clothed. For it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. And here is the most important part of that instruction. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, for today has enough troubles already. So you have the great shepherd conveying these words, where what was transpiring after the Exodus, there was worry, there was anxiousness, there was, I would even say, fear. What are we going to do? Moses is gone. This guy who brought us out, where do we go from here? They did not know God. So how could they trust in someone they did not know? Moses was the conduit, the connection between them. Yet we have a great shepherd who is a conduit for us. So just as Israel was totally dependent upon Adonai to guide them, protect them, feed them, so too are we dependent upon this very same care. Yet Yeshua tells us, don't worry, don't be anxious. And ultimately, sheep require a rod and a staff to be guided. Good thing Yeshua's rod and staff are a little easier than that has transpired previously. Do any of these additional attributes ring true to us? I know they do to me. They are not mutually exclusive to Israel and the many documented accounts by Adonai as to their struggles. Thus, to think we are immune to such actions would be rather short-sighted. Though I see these attributes more indicative of the young believer, not in age but rather in maturity, yet in reality none of us are immune to such traits. Even the most mature can succumb to these character traits that reside in us, that are paralleled with that of sheep. So Kepha has a few things to say. Consider this past tense observation of 1 Peter 25, where he's quoting Isaiah 53. He himself bore our sins in his body on the stake, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you used to be like sheep gone astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd who watches over you. And thus Kepha instruction to the congregational leader in 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, I urge the congregational leaders among you, as a fellow leader and witness to the Messiah's sufferings, as well as a share in the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is in your care, exercising oversight not out of constraint, but willingly as God wants, and not out of a desire for dishonest gain, but with enthusiasm. Also not as mockers domineering over those in your care, but as people who become examples to the flock. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive glory as your unfading crown. Likewise, you who are less experienced, submit to leaders. Further, all of you should clothe yourselves in humility toward one another, because God opposes the arrogant, but to the humble he gives grace. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the right time he may lift you up. Throw all your anxieties upon him, because he cares about you. Stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand against him, firm in your trust, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kinds of suffering. You will have to suffer only a little while. After that, God, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in union with Messiah, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you, and make you firm. To him be the power forever and ever. And Kepha conveys Amen, meaning that this is a prayer that he's conveying to believers, to the community. Yet what does being identified as sheep truly mean? Is it more about us or about who our shepherd truly is? We learn through Scripture the character of our shepherd, who is Yeshua. What better than Psalm 23? I believe this psalm personifies Yeshua, our shepherd. Because what do we know? We know that God and Yeshua are one. Adonai is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. Even if I pass through death-darkened ravines, I will fear no disaster. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff reassure me. You prepare a table for me. Even as my enemies watch, you anoint my head with oil from an overflowing cup. Goodness and grace will pursue me every day of my life, and I will live in the house of Adonai for years and years to come. So what does this psalm of the shepherd truly convey to us? In verse 1, it says, Adonai is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He is sufficient, and he provides for his sheep. He attends to our needs and our cares. I used this word last week, and I think I'm going to use it again, dayenu. It would have been enough. He continues to provide for us. Though we may not see him in a physical presence, his presence is not absent from us. His spirit resides in us. His spirit guides us, teaches us, directs us, feeds us spiritually. So, if we're wondering where is God, just as the people wondered where Moses is, he's not far from you. Verse 2, he has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet water. To lie down in green pastures conveys a sense of protection, a sense of security, a sense of safeness, and that there is no fear. If a sheep can lie down, it feels secure. He leads me by the quiet water. What is the quiet water but the living water? The living water where we become refreshed. The living water where we become in a way nourished as well. Verse 3, he restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. Think of us walking in tandem. His footsteps are our footsteps. Verse 4, even if I pass through death, dark ravines, I will fear no disaster, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff reassure me. So in other words, what is this? But he will protect us wherever we are, so we should not fear. We should not be anxious. Again, I go back to Matthew 6. There are plenty of worries for tomorrow. Don't even worry about today. You prepare a table for me, even as my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil from an overflowing cup. I'm reminded of John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. So even though we can't see that far advance into the future, he can. He's preparing a place for us. And ultimately, goodness and grace will pursue me every day of my life, the psalmist says. And I will live in the house of Adonai for years and years to come. And thus, he has been revealed to us the intent and desire of the shepherd towards his sheep. So who is the shepherd? Last week I shared John 10 with you and what Yeshua had said. I believe hearing it once more is good for everyone. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he isn't a shepherd, and the sheep aren't his own, sees the wolf coming, abandons the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf drags them off and scatters them. The hired worker behaves like this because that's all he is, a hired worker. So it doesn't matter to him what happens to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep. Also, I have other sheep, which are not from this pen. I need to bring them, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This is what my Father commanded me to do. So Yeshua has conveyed that he lays down his life for his sheep, while Psalm 23 conveys all that Adonai, the great shepherd, will do. When we understand that Adonai and Yeshua are one, we should understand that the shepherd of Psalm 23 and Yeshua of John 10 are one in the same. His character is revealed throughout Scripture. Psalm 80, verse 1, provides us with further insight. Shepherd of Israel, listen. You who lead Yosef like a flock, you whose throne is on the cherubim. Shepherd is the king as well. There is one shepherd whose throne is on the cherubim, the mercy seat that we see in the Holy of Holies, a copy of that which exists already, the very place where Adonai would sit in the Holy of Holies. What do the prophets say about our shepherd? Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 10. Here comes Adonai Elohim with power, and his arm will rule for him. Look, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. He is like a shepherd feeding his flock, gathering his lambs with his arm, carrying them against his chest, gently leading the mother sheep. Who has counted the handfuls of water in the sea, measured off the sky with a ruler, gauged how much dust there is on the earth, weighed the mountains on scales, or the hills in a balance? If you can fathom those things, then what? Typically it says if you can count these things, then God's promises, he can remove his promises from Israel, but that's not the case. Going back to the days of Moses, whom led them out of Egypt, yet it was actually Adonai who shepherded them. For Isaiah conveys this in chapter 63, starting in verse 11. But then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them up from the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit right there among them? Who caused his glorious arm to go at Moses' right hand? He divided the water ahead of them to make himself an eternal name. He led them through the deep like a sure-footed horse through the desert. Like cattle going down into the valley, the Spirit of Adonai had them rest. This is how you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. As shepherd, Adonai tended to the flock of Israel in such a way that he alone was able to do so. If it were anyone else, they would have required many people to do what Adonai had done. Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 18. Then the Egyptians will realize that I am Adonai when I have won myself glory at the expense of Pharaoh, his chariots, and his cavalry. Next, the angel of Adonai, who was going ahead of the camp of Israel, moved away and went behind them. And the column of cloud moved away from in front and stood behind them. It stationed itself between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. There was cloud and darkness here, but light by night there, so that the one did not come near the other all night long. What would have required many was accomplished by one. We further see that Adonai will raise up leaders to be among the community of his people. Ezekiel 34:23. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed. My servant David, he will pasture them and be their shepherd. I, Adonai, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. So who is David? But of the line by which Yeshua would flow. David was the shepherd of Israel. He was the authority. Yet it would be like David that Yeshua would present himself, that the line of David would continue. Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves. From your own kinsmen, you are to pay attention to him. Just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Adonai your God, don't let me hear the voice of Adonai my God anymore, or let me see the great fire ever again. If I do, I will die. On that occasion, Adonai said to me, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. And finally, let us further establish these verses conveyed by Yeshua when he said, "If someone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Someone who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. And the word you are hearing is not my own, but that of the Father who sent me. So just as Adonai proclaimed through Moses that the prophet who would be coming would not be speaking his own words, but the words of the one who sent him, the very relationship of a shepherd to a nation, to a people, is seen throughout Scripture. We see it of Moses. We see it of David. And I use this word at various times, epitome. It means to be the greatest of. Basically, Moses was Messiah-like. David was Messiah-like. Yeshua is Messiah. So their representation of him was influenced by God, yet the very shepherd, the great shepherd, is the epitome of all the shepherds that have come before. Keeping in mind, Moses had his challenges, David had his, I have mine. Yet it's even in spite of those that God continues to use us. Though we have a great shepherd to focus our sights on. And I pray that this shepherd points you in that direction. Technically, it's not me leading you. I'm behind Yeshua. He's leading me. I'm leading. I mean, you're following him. You're not really following me. You're following him. I pray that you see that. That technically I'm one of you. I am following him. Every one of us has our challenges. Far from perfect. Are you witnessing that or is, oh, both, okay.
There we go. This week I was contemplating being a sheep. I was contemplating the message from last week, and I got this email from an acquaintance who is a shepherdess, and I thought this was so appropriate. "A rattlesnake bit one of my sheep in the face about a week ago. Deadliest snake that lives around here. The sheep's face swelled up and hurt her terribly. But that old rattlesnake didn't know the kind of blood that flows through the sheep. Antivenom is most often made from sheep's blood. The sheep swelled for about 2 days, but the blood of the lamb destroyed the venom of the serpent. I was worried, but the sheep didn't care. She kept on eating, she kept on drinking, and kept on climbing because she knew she was all right. Often the serpents of this life will reach out and bite us. They inject their poison into us, but they cannot overcome the blood of the lamb that washes away the sin of the world and the sting of death. Don't worry about that serpent or his bite. Just make sure that the lamb's blood is flowing through your veins."
Apparently, that's my conclusion. Well, for the simple reason, I mean, it ties everything in together. And I mean, we're talking a literal sheep, a literal rattlesnake, not the figurative allusion to. Interesting. So I thank you for sharing that. Did not know. I mean, that's the first, what you revealed was the first time that I heard it. I mean, you didn't even send it to me. So. Oh, so you verified. And it wasn't just some sort of story that's like an allusion to. It's like, okay, good to know. So with that, if everybody would please rise.